All right, our reading is coming from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 28, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Amen. 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 Now go on and put your Bible down or your device down, and I want you to do something for me. Put your device and Bible down. You're not going to grab your neighbor by the hand, but you're going to look at a neighbor. And as you look at look at me before you look at your neighbor. I want you to take your hands and cross your chest like this. And I want you to turn and look at your neighbor, make eye contact with him. Find somebody, make eye contact with him. And say, neighbor, Jesus values me. Neighbor, Jesus values me. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this day, "Jesus Values Me." Somebody needed to hear that today. Better yet, somebody's needed to hear that today. You know why? Life's been kicking your butt. You know why life's been kicking your butt? Because you made some mistakes. Or some folk will say, you've been sinning. See, but the truth is, all of us still sin. But those of us who are children of the King of Kings, I pray, are learning to sin less. Now, sin, if left unattended, beats us to a pulp. We find ourselves living a life of disappointment, rejection, and abandonment. Because of the life choices we've made, because of how some choices were made for us, we now find ourselves just surviving from one day to the next. We're just trying to get through this day just so that we can get to the next day. But then we hear so often about how sorry we are. How you ain't worth nothing. And then when you hear that enough, you start living like enough. Doing things to hurt yourself. Doing things to degrade you. There might have been a time you had a high expectations about what you wanted to do. But now you seem to be level with a snail incapable of seeing anything any more than what is before your eyes. You see, this was sister in here called Mary Magdalene. In so many ways, she was fitting this profile before Jesus. Before she knew Jesus, this was her life. You can read about how the Lord transformed her in Luke chapter 8, verse number 2. You can see this woman, you know, was toe up from the flow up. Some say, Fee, that she's also the woman who came to Jesus and broke the alabaster box and poured the perfume all over him and then wiped his feet with her tears because she knew what life was like before Jesus. And now that she has Jesus in her life, she recognizes how he has reshaped her, remolded her, and let her know that she is somebody. So from her encounter with Jesus, her life has never been the same. Whereas before she was wondering about what the day's going to hold and what am I going to do to mess myself up some more, she was now waking up saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the transformation that this sister went through. And because of that, now, as she followed Jesus and she saw Jesus healing the sick, gave sight to the blind, allowed the lame to walk. She was truly a disciple of Christ. She was truly somebody who loved the Lord. And when she saw him coming into Jerusalem and being a part of the crowd and laying down the cloaks and putting the leafy branches down and even holding and waving the palms and shouting, Hosanna, save now, Lord. And see that in the midst of 7 days, the one whom she knew never lifted a finger to hurt anybody until he went into the temple with that rope and let folk know, you have turned my daddy's house into a den of thieves. He did that to kick him out so that the healing can come back in the house. When you get a chance, read about that. And once all of that took place, she saw them take Jesus, be him, made him carry the cross up to the Mount of Golgotha, which is called the Mount of Skulls. And we call it Calvary as well. And when he carried the cross, and we see he got help from Simon, but when he got up there, they laid him on the cross. And as they nailed his hands and his feet into the cross, I want you to know that's when Jesus gave us his first of the seven expressions. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now we're thinking that he's asking forgiveness for those who were nailing him to the cross. He's talking about them. But he's also asking the Father to forgive those whom he has healed, delivered, and set free. Because when they saw Jesus was going to be crucified, whereas before they were just shouting less than a week ago, now they done scattered like roaches do when you turn the light on. Folks scattered, y'all. Because you know why they scattered Deacon Elwood? Because they didn't want nobody to grab them and crucify them. So it was only a select few that stayed with him. And you know who was in that select few? Mary Magdalene was following Jesus through thick and through thin. And as she looked and saw him hang on that cross and dying on that cross, she's looking up with tears filling her eyes and said, he has not done anything to deserve this. But he wasn't just dying for himself. He was taking the sins of the world, because they were nailed to the cross with him. That means the sins then and the sins now. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't have to be beat up anymore by your sins. Sin is still here, but sin does no longer have to dominate your life. You have somebody who can fend the sin off of you. You no longer have to be beat by the sin. So when he went to the cross and that he was dying, what he was doing was telling sin, yeah, you right here with me, but you ain't going to get back up again. You're going to exist, but you ain't going to have the power over them to keep them bound. Because what I'm doing right now is going to set them free. But the devil and his cronies were giving each other a high five, talking about, it's all over, we got them. You know, they was breaking down into their dance. Oh, we got this, we got this. And then after he took his last breath, Mary Magdalene, with the mother of Jesus and a few others, were there. And after he took his last breath and he died, they took him off the cross. Joseph of Arimathea asked, went to Pilate and said, can I have his body? Because I want to put him in my tomb. And Nicodemus was with him. And Pilate said, go ahead. And they took Jesus' body and they wrapped it in the cloths. And they carted him to the tomb of Joseph Arimathea. And you know who was there? Bemrose, Mary Magdalene, and a few others. They saw Jesus being put in the tomb on that Friday. They saw, Brother Red, that they rolled the stone in front of the tomb. And then on top of that, y'all, they put some Roman guards out front. Deacon Aldridge, the reason why they did that, they didn't want nobody to come in and rob the grave and then say he rose again. You see, man thought he had all the bases covered. I put the stone in front. I put some guards out front of the stone. Mo, he said, you know what? We got this all figured out. We ain't got to worry about him. He's done. Stick a fork in him. We got this. Now, truth be told, that's how some of us feel about our lives. Man has messed you up and told you they got you. You ain't going to be nothing except what you are. You ain't been worth 2 cents. You ain't going to ever be worth more than 2 cents. You were sorry at the beginning and you're going to stay sorry. You're sorry because your daddy was sorry. You're sorry because your mama was sorry. You're sorry because of this one and that one in your family. Ain't nothing good ever come about your family. That's how come, you know, when some folk meet you, they say, what's your name? Oh, baby, what's your daddy name? What's your mama name? And once they figure out where you come from, some folks say, don't you go nowhere near them. Them folk ain't worth 2 cents. But I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm about to break the curse. You see, I want you to understand something. I don't care what your family history says. I don't care what's in the history of your family. I'm about to let you know that there's some good news, and the Lord is about to break open some stuff for you to let you know, no matter what happened in your past, it don't have to hold you back on your today. Do you want to go and see what I'm talking about? Let's go check this out. You see, they had to get Jesus in the tomb before sunset, because sunset was starting the Sabbath for the Jews. And on that particular Sabbath, that was the Passover. The Passover, when they were back in Egypt, and we see that the last of the plagues was when the death angel came and went and killed the oldest child in each household. But the only way the Jews were saved was that they had to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost on the top and on the side,
So when the angel got to the door to go in, he would see the blood of the Lamb. And then he would just pass on by. So what was happening in all of Egypt didn't happen in Goshen where the Jews were. Because the angel of death just passed. So we have to understand, the enemy has been holding on to us for a mighty long time. And since they had stuff straight in that tomb, they figured that everything is well. And that's why they made sure he was in the tomb before sunset. Because it was unlawful for Jews to be out dealing with this kind of stuff on sunset. Just like some folk are hellraisers Monday through Saturday, but I'm going to pray for you on Sunday. Hallelujah! Look at you funny like, child, wait till tomorrow I get here. I'm going to cuss you out again tomorrow. All right, come on back. Hallelujah, but we holy. We ain't just holy on Sunday. We want to be holy Monday through Saturday. Do we slip up sometime? Amen. Because guess what? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't perfect. Neither are you. Are y'all ready to go with me now? So they put him in the tomb. Yeah. Everybody's happy. Mary Magdalene, it tells us as this chapter begins. When you go look at all four Gospels and you see what happens on that early Sunday morning, there's two constants: Jesus raising and Mary being there. In this Bible, in this Gospel, she has a partner who is the other Mary. And one of the other of the three Gospels is just her. And in two others, there's multiple people with her. But in other Gospels, they talk about how she is going to embalm his body. But Matthew's saying, I ain't even dealing with that. She's just here because all she wants to do is see Jesus one more time. She know all that he's done for her. She know how her life will never be the same and how he has reshaped and remolded her, and that she is somebody who was productive. She's somebody who has now good self-esteem. She's somebody who can look at herself in the mirror and say, look at me now. There was a time she wouldn't dare look at herself, but she would turn away. So her and this other Mary are on their way. But as they approach the tomb where Jesus is, don't you know wherever the Lord is, he gonna shake some stuff up? Because as they were approaching the tomb, it tells us that the angel came down from heaven. There was an earthquake on the earth, which is letting me know that things were about to get shaken up. And the angel came, and as the angel came, he rolled the stone away. He was as bright as lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And I want you to know those two guards that were supposed to be there to make sure ain't nothing happened around there. Don't you know when they saw all this took place, they got so shook up with fear, they just fainted. So what I'm here to tell you right now, I don't care who's coming up against you. If God be for us, who can come against us? If God is the one that's got your back, your front, your left, and your right, I don't care how many folk try to stop your blessings, you go on and just give God the glory. Because if God brought me this far, God's going to take me all the way. I don't care how many doors you shut. I don't care how many gates you put up. I don't care how many mountains in my way. If God has got me, God is going to see me through. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Don't you dare let anybody stop you from moving forward. And this is the other part. Even if you don't know what's going to happen, or how it's going to get fixed, if God tell you to go, You better go home. Because as you go, God has already made a way out of no way. Do I got anybody who know what I'm talking about? Anybody been faced with what others call the impossible situation? Anybody ever have to deal with something you didn't know how it was going to change? But when you have put it in God's hands, God is the one that led you. God is the one that's guiding you. And look at you now. Aren't you still here? Aren't you still praising Him? Aren't you still thanking Him? I don't care what folks say. I know whose side I'm on. And I'm on the side of
Jesus.
Now let's go. So, now we see the tomb has been opened. But I want you to say this to your neighbor. Neighbor, check this out. Now, I want you to understand something. Nicole, that the tomb wasn't open to let Jesus out. The tomb was open so that we could see He wasn't in there. The stone had to be rolled away so that we could see what others saw, thought was an impossibility. God can do all things. Things which are impossible with man are possible with God. So when some folk look at what you're doing, you just smile at them and say, I know who brought me this far. I know who's going to take me all the way. You see, because I've come this far by faith. I've been leaning on the Lord the whole time. Because if I was left under my own strength, I would have quit a long time ago. But through God's Holy Spirit inside of me and the Father and the Son both working with me, I'm able to do what I do to the best of my ability. And that's why I can't do nothing but thank God. Because I know I got here because of the Lord. He is the way maker. He is my all in all. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But as that stone being rolled away, it says the angel rolled the stone away. And you know what he did? He sat on it. You know why he sat on it? Because it ain't rolling back in front of the tomb no more. Well, what is that telling us in so many ways? Just like sin had us bound and had us caught up where we were. And because of that, we couldn't go nowhere. We were stuck right where we were, pacing in circles because sin had us bound. But when Jesus came, when I look at this, I can see it metaphorically. By the stone being rolled away and the angel sitting on it is letting us know you no longer are bound by the sins of the world. Which means that the sins that used to kick your butt, that have tore you up from the flow up, now have no more authority and power over you. The only power they have is the power that you give them. But I'm here to tell you today, when you put your hand in God's unchanging hand, there is no longer any power of the sin that's all around you, because you are relying on the power of God. And I want you to know, I don't care what it is, it cannot stand up against God and win. Now check this out. So the angel, the guards, big bad guards, big brothers about, make Jay Robinson look short, big brothers. Had the big brothers up there, Jay, being the guards. But when they saw all that, fell right on out like they was dead. So I don't care how big and bad we think we are, when we come up against God, you are not big at all. But could you imagine these sisters seeing these brothers? Hey. Now what did they do? They got scared. And the angel said, y'all ain't got nothing to be afraid about. Y'all came here to check on Jesus. I'm here to tell you, ain't nothing to check. He ain't in there. You don't believe me? See why I opened this stone? Go and see for yourself. I didn't open it to let him out. He was already gone. He was letting you know that there's a vacancy up in here, and he wanted y'all to go in and see that he has vacated the place.
You see, and since he has vacated the place, I'm getting back here in a second. Since he has vacated the place, that he needed it for them to see that he's no longer there. And since he's now gone from that place, they now are blown away. You see, because even though they now have higher expectations, they saw with their own eyes that he was crucified. They saw with their own eyes that he was dead. They saw with their own eyes how they took a dead man and put him into a tomb. So when they came, the expectation was to find a dead man
in a tomb. And that's how come the angel rolled the stone away to let him know he ain't dead no more. That he is risen. He is now alive. You don't remember he told you that he was going to do this. You see what happens to us sometimes when we're going through a hard time and we hit a crisis. Sometimes we forget about all that the Lord told us in his word. Somebody ought to say amen. If you want, I say it for myself. Amen. You see, sometimes we forget about all the promises that God has gave us. You see, the promises just don't come while everything is sunny and shiny in our lives. The promises got to come in the midst of the storm. The promises got to come in the midst of our mourning and in our tears. That's the time when you got to learn how to hold on to the word of God. That's the time you got to continue to shout and give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Anybody can praise God while it's sunny outside. Anybody can praise God while things are going right in their lives. But it's the time when you can and praise God when it don't make sense to praise God. I'm here to tell you, that's when that word of God will come back to you. But here we see that once they saw the tomb was empty, the angel now has their undivided attention. And he says to them, check this out. Go on back to his disciples. Let them know it's time for them to go to Galilee. And when they get there, Jesus is going to meet them there. Thank you, Lord. So you go and pass that message on to them. Thank you, Lord. And once they heard that, I want you to know they got excited. Yeah. They turned away. Yeah. And don't you know they took off. Yeah. But I want you to know, I don't know how many steps they took. But it says in the Bible, suddenly Jesus showed up. You see, the one thing that I'm so excited about our Savior is that when we walk by faith, don't you know the Lord's going to always show up? And he's going to show up right on time? And when he showed up, y'all, he said one word to them, and that word was greeting. But when you look at the Greek of where the word they're translating greetings, that word could and should have been also translated rejoice. So when he saw them, Jay, he was saying, you see me now? Rejoice. And you know what they did, y'all? They ran, grabbed him by his feet, which lets us know he wasn't a figment of their imagination. He was somebody who they grabbed a hold of. And as they grabbed a hold of his feet, what did they begin to do, y'all? So how is it that we come in church and want to give God a little hallelujah after all that he's done for you? You don't get it, so let me explain it to you. You see, Jesus got up. First, he went there for us. Then he got up for us to let us know that he values us. He died for us. He went through everything for us. So that you and I can have a relationship with the Father. So that's why we entitled this message, Jesus Values Me. You see, because when I look at myself, I know I wasn't worth 2 cents. You might have been worth 5, but you still weren't worth much. But what I'm telling you is that Jesus came to let you know just how much he values you. When others wanted to kick you to the curb, when others, all they would tell you was how bad you were, Jesus came to tell you, you are good, and good things are going to happen for you. When you put your trust in me, I'll take your life and I'll turn you around. I know you think you don't deserve it. You don't. Guess what? Neither do I. But it's called God's grace and mercy. God came to let us know. Jesus said that we have value. Jesus values me. He sees the best in me. He sees what I can become when I understand who I am for him. So what is that saying to us today? When you know how lost in the sauce you once were, and once the Lord came and swooped you up out that lost sauce and put your life back together again, he was the only one that was able to turn you around. He was the only one to stop you from getting high. He was the only one who stopped you from shucking and jiving. He was the only one that got you in your right mind. He was the only one that got you about that sick bed. He was the only one that kept your family together. He was the only one who made a way out of no way. I still don't understand why you're sitting there like God ain't done nothing for you. When you think about all that the Lord has done. When he got up out that tomb, he came with all the power in his hands so that you and I could do great things in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus values me. You see, my brothers and sisters, the struggle of the church is this. Now that we have arrived, we look at other folk and say, I know that one going to hell. Hallelujah. That is not a biblical or Christian principle. Because there were some folk who looked at you. And if you was to ask them, they say, yeah, he going to hell for sure. I bet $1,000 that he going to hell. There ain't no way he ever going to change. You see, but I want you to understand there's a lot of folk who have been betting against you. There's a whole lot of folk who thought you never would. But I want you to understand something. I don't care how many folk bet against you. There's one person that bet for you, and his name is. And when you put your hand in Jesus' hand, I'm here to tell you that I don't care how many folk bet against you. If God be for us, who can come against us? When you know there is nobody but the Lord who brought you through thick and through thin, when you see other folk coming in who might be limping like you used to limp, or hurting like you used to hurt, you ought to run over to them and say, my brother, my sister, I know it's rough on you right now. I might not know your situation, but I had a similar situation. And the same God that blessed me, healed me, delivered me, is the same God that's going to do the same for you. Give me some Reverend Rose. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? We got to let folk know Jesus values me. And if he values me, he also values you. Oh, my brothers and sisters. It's time for us to understand. It ain't that he just got up for himself. He got up for us. Matter of fact, he came for us. And since he did all that, he left a nice, cushy place. Let me just try to put it in a human term. Remember how, Gwen, you lived up in that mansion with those 30 rooms and you had servants and did well and didn't even have to wash your own dishes, wash your own clothes, cook your own food. Anytime you wanted to go somewhere, you'd call somebody and they'd come and bring the car around and take you to wherever you wanted to go. But what happened was that your daddy said, I'm going to send you down to the hood of hoods. And when you go down there, you're going to have to help them folk to understand that this is the lifestyle that they can have. But you could have said, nah, daddy, I'm living too good right now to be going back to something like that. But rather than saying that, you said, yes, I'm going. That's what Jesus did. Now, the servants and all that stuff, you know, I'm just hyping that up. But what I'm saying to you, he was in a good place. But he made a decision to come to a bad place to bring us good news so that we can transition from being bad to good and to see what the possibilities can be in our lives. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you understand all that God has done for you, when you understand that Jesus values you, that means that you got to look at yourself a whole lot different than how you used to look at yourself. You got to see that you have been anointed and appointed by God. You might can't see it right now. You might can't feel it right now. You might can't touch it right now. But I want you to know that's the whole purpose of Jesus coming. So the anointing and the power of God could exist inside of you. And for those who are children of the King of Kings, those who have accepted Christ into your life, and those who are walking in their blessings are understanding exactly what I'm saying, because you know that the Lord has anointed you, the Lord has appointed you, the Lord is using you. The Lord didn't keep you where you were. He took you to a new place. You are doing things you thought you could never do, and there's nothing, because it's the anointing of God that's on your life. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who know that God has anointed you, that God has empowered you, that God is blessing you? I'm here to tell you, I don't care what they say about you. You got to be able to see yourself right now. I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wasn't nobody, but since I now have Jesus, I am somebody. He told me I am somebody. I'm going to walk like I'm somebody. I know his hand is on my life.